Welcome everyone. I am Özlem Özkan from Amsterdam and I am your host for Bridging. Bridging is a podcast which will take you on a bridge to somewhere else. Sometimes it will take you to a very familiar place and sometimes it will take you to a very new place. In Bridging, I'm having conversations with people from all over the world. We are exploring different viewpoints. We talk about entrepreneurship, cultural diversity, self-empowerment, personal growth, and other topics that shape our universe. Very happy to announce that my guest today is Gulshanoy Tolipova. Gulshanoy is for the second time on Bridging. For the ones who do not know Gulshanoy, Gulshanoy is originally from Uzbekistan and lives nowadays in Denmark. She's mother of two and is the international marketing and e-commerce manager of Pieces and Mamalicious. For me, Gulshanoy is like fire. In episode 10, Gulshanoy and I talked about women's empowerment, strength, confidence, and endurance. Today we will be talking about being present in life, especially how to be present in a fast-paced life. In a society where multitasking is appreciated, Gulshanoy and I work both on not multitasking and really enjoy the peace that being present brings into our lives.
This is life, and we have no idea how long and how life turns out for us. So being present is really just enjoying and trying to be there for whoever you are. For me, the first and important thing is that I'm there for me. I do it for my sake. Yeah, so that I am more connected to myself and to things I do. And that kind of calms you down. And that gives you clarity.
I am here together again with Gulshanoy Tolipova. Gulshanoy, welcome again to Bridging. It's really nice having you again. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back, actually. So, you know, I asked you to talk about a few topics together. Mm-hmm. And today the topic that we are going to talk about is about being present. Yes. How can we be present in life? In life meaning at home, with our friends, with family, at work, whatever dimension your life exists of, how can we be more present?
Yeah.
And I know that you are working on or living a very present life, a life in presence. And this will be an open conversation between us, what our experiences are.
Yeah.
And my first question is actually, what do you think that being present means to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, let's start with a small visualization for me, just to break it out there and make it as easy as possible for people to understand what we're talking about. I am brushing my teeth in the morning. And when I'm brushing my teeth, I am not thinking of, okay, now I have to put a coffee to, you know, like the coffee cups into dishwasher. I have to start a dishwasher, you know. So I actually, for me, being present means to delay those thoughts and actually do the toothbrushing. So just do one thing at a time. And for me, it's a lot around the thoughts that we have, or maybe like some people prefer to have their phone next to them, right? And then they're maybe watching a YouTube or watching news or something. So for me, being present is like doing what you're doing. If you're eating a food, then you're actually really eating that food. It's a bit, other people would say it like mindfulness, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for being present, it is just doing that one thing at a time.
Doing one thing at a time. That's what it means for you to be present.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you, I think, you know, for me, it feels very similar of what you are saying. And also, like, if I to brushing my teeth, or if I'm in the park, also really fully enjoying that part, what I am doing, even if I am going to a training and I am on my 15 kilometers of running, it hurts as hell.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if I go to my mind, if I think like, oh, wow, it's so hurting, I should stop, I can't anymore. But if I even feel through the pain, be by being present, I just go through it.
Yeah.
Like really being with that feeling, whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for example, there are, I mean, throughout our day in life, let's say we go to work, we have, in my case, I have my children, you know, there are a lot of other things, or in interaction with the neighbors and stuff like that. So the thing is that we as humans think that we can multitask, but you know, it's not true. Scientifically proven, we cannot do that. Our brain is not made for multitasking. And we hear that men saying, oh, women are better at it than men. It doesn't exist like that. It's just because we have to do it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's societally, we are forced to be the ones doing, expected, you know, to do more than men can do. But let's say if we two are working together and we two are working on a specific task, right? And I give you five other exercises to do, or like tasks to do, you would probably do them 50%, because as a human being, we can't, if we want to do something, we want to do it 100%.
Yeah.
So the thing is that being present, let's say, mean on a specific, that's a specific work-related thing, doing it wholeheartedly does require some attention.
Yeah.
Right? For you, for example, you running, I don't know how it's for you. I can't talk when I'm running.
Yeah.
I'm so out of breath. I cannot talk. Sometimes I want to even take out my headphones when I'm running, because I can't even maybe listen to music.
Yeah.
So, you know, it comes in so many forms, like what really being present means.
So, you know, for example, let's go back to that brushing your teeth. When you are there in the morning, you wake up, you have your morning routine, you brush your teeth, and you are really in this moment. You might not think about doing the dishes or other things, but then all of a sudden your child comes in and then, mommy, can we do that? Can we do this? So how do you react on that? How does your attention shift from toothbrushing to another thing? Or are you reacting on your child?
Yes, of course. I mean, you cannot not react. You know, when Louis comes through the door and he's like, mom, something, or he, or of course, he wants to be next to me most of the time, then I ask him, can you please wait a minute? You know, can you please wait a minute? I'm doing this. And he doesn't listen. But then I just need to go on with what I'm doing until I'm done. Then he can wait, right? It's also about teaching people from their young age that it's not everything is about them. So he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't understand. But I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing just because he entered the room, unless it's an accident, unless it's he fell and he needs my urgent attention. So it's also like maybe teaching the discipline of like, mommy is doing certain thing and you have to wait. You know,
But when you are saying that to Louis at the moment that you're saying, are you fully present with him? Are you saying it by being with him? I'm now busy. Or are you also like brushing your teeth on this side and then like, Louis, I'm coming, just a moment. Yeah. How does that work?
No, well, I do tell him like, I do tell him I'm brushing my teeth. You have to wait. And that's it. And probably I'm not going to repeat that again. You know, it depends on very much on how the case looks. So, no, I'm not coming after him. He has to wait until I'm done. Yeah.
Just a break for 1 minute, because I have a really nice message for you. I am so happy and at the same time very excited to announce that the book I have written, The Student Reflections of the Heart and Mind, is now in pre-order on Amazon. If you would like to pre-order this student, please go to Amazon, search for the student Reflections of the Heart and Mind by Özlem Özkan. Do not forget the double dots on both of the O's of my name, or find the link on my Instagram or in the episode notes. So The Student is a memoir and self-awareness book. In The Student, I am shedding some light on my inner journey of getting to know myself. It explores a human heart and mind. The Student will take you to different parts of the world, such as Japan, where I learned about kindness, to Denmark, where I harshly faced my own judgments, to Istanbul, a city which I admire, to the airplane where I created panic attacks, and to my childhood spent in the Netherlands. This book will take you on a fascinating journey into the inner world and to things that you may have never admitted to yourself. It will make you unravel the debates of who you are. This book is definitely not a handbook about how you should live your life, but it's a travel guide through a lived life. While society is constantly presenting us with choices, you might find yourself searching for vital answers. The Student, with its universal topics, may resonate if you have ever wondered who you are. By the time you finish reading, you may have discovered new and deeper layers within yourself. In a society where we are afraid to show our true selves and try to be like someone who is anything but ourselves, The Student shows us what it can look like to break free and be your true self, coming very soon. And we are back.
And how does it look like in your during your life, you know, during your daily life? The toothbrushing was one simple. Like, do you do every single task that you do during the day by being fully present?
Not necessarily. It's very difficult, Özlem. You know, I mind myself. I came to this, you know, like before when I'm reflecting, like how things were in the beginning, let's say you're young, you have so many ambitions and you know, like there are a lot of things which you think you can, but within time you go through things in your life and you realize actually, okay, maybe I should take one thing at a time, right? And and I came here when I am actually starting asking question myself. It can be, let's say I'm having a lunch, right? And I have a colleague in front of me. We are eating a lunch together. And sometimes I've noticed myself drifting in from the conversation. Like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I have to manage to go to pick up Louis and, you know, because the kindergarten is closing at 4:00. And then I haven't heard what the colleague had said to me. Right. And then I'm telling like, should I bring your mind back? So I'm more aware of it, but no, I'm not like constantly present. It's very difficult.
So, but actually you are being aware that you are not present. Actually,
exactly.
That also puts another layer on it, that you are actually present of the fact that you are not present.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It is very, very complicated. I think I am on this stage a little bit because, you know, I also practice presence by setting my day with a meditation, by really being fully present during that meditation. It's only 10 to 15 minutes. And then it sets my day. But then when I go and brush my teeth or put on my jacket or do the dishes or whatever that is, I might switch on like, oh yeah, where's the key of my bike? Or I just really need to call this colleague. I need to do this. And it just, I already feel it is going, you know, the mind is just constantly making noise. And I thought, honestly, many years ago, I thought it's only me. I was like, why is my mind making so much noise? You know, I'm just constantly thinking about many, many, many things. And then after reading so many books about it, doing the courses, I realized this is the mind that just talks or makes noise all the time. But then I started realizing first, oh, this is happening. And sometimes in the moment, I am not able to direct my attention. I just keep thinking about.
Yeah.
But sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm like, this is actually not me. This is just the mind. That is just noise.
But the meditation that I do every morning and sometimes also at night before I sleep keeps me grounded.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I know some of the, after our first podcast, you know, some of the girls from Uzbekistan, women and men, reached out, and for them meditation was something new, right? Mm-hmm. They were like, what is it like? And we too spoke about mental hygiene, right? Like, as you brush your teeth, you have to also do the same with your mind. You have to really keep it clean.
Yeah,
from the thoughts and from different things. And if we just try to kind of break it down, what does really mean? I tell this to Max, you know, my son, which is 14, turning 15 this year. I tell him, imagine there is a turtle and a fox. Turtle, a fox is a thought which is like coming to the turtle, and turtle can have you know, it can hide his head under its skull, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, is it called skull? The one that, which is the, you know,
the shell?
The one that, yeah, shell. Yes, the shell. Exactly. So the thoughts that are coming, it can be different kind of thoughts, the fear, the busy thoughts of the day, or anxiety, or many different kind of things, right? That's a fox for me. And you are the turtle. So when those thoughts come, it's about not ignoring what's coming, but it's not interacting with them, right? Mm. It's like, what is not interacting is like you and like a turtle, you just put your head down. And what happens to the fox? It's tired. It walks around, it hangs around, and then it walks away.
Yes.
And you just let it go. Sometimes, yes. You know, like this things with the, like it, also I'm meditating also every day and every night, twice a day, like 10 minutes, if I can 5 minutes, just to give my mind a break. And that's, I think, maybe the building foundation for becoming more present.
Yeah.
Because you have to train your brain to, you know, come away from those thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I already think now maybe for some of the listeners, they might say, some of the listeners, but I don't really like meditation, or I don't have time for meditation. That might, you know, be coming there. But, you know, yeah. To give another just very humble advice, people need to, of course, decide what they want to do. But if they think like, I would not like to meditate, or I can't do it, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. What I would say, choose one activity during your day, what you actually do every single day, whatever that is, brushing your teeth, doing the dishes, drinking your coffee, drink that by being very present every single day. When you drink your coffee, do not talk to anyone, don't look at your social media, just really feel the taste of the coffee in your mouth. When you sip it, to feel the touches of your lips, and then just swallow it, and then you feel that it goes through, you know, your throat down to your stomach. This kind of, I'm not fully sure, but I think it's called transcendental meditation.
And I completely agree with you. You know, like I also sometimes I'm like, I need to win the time, right? Because we have made this society, and we live in times where we're super busy. Look at your life. Look at my life. We have so many things to do. My calendar is full for the next coming month. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, it's inevitable, but I mean, what a shame if we really don't understand the things we're doing, like just enjoying the cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, how nice it can be just to smell the roasted coffee beans and like really enjoy it. So yeah, I think I just need to look at like, all right, I'm really gonna enjoy this awesome apple or something. Simple. Yeah.
Or even this, you know, conversation. I'm just having a conversation now with you or anyone else, with someone on the phone. Mm. Just really enjoy, and don't put your headset in your ears, and also look on your emails when you're talking to someone, because I know it's happening a lot. I do it even if it's happening a lot. Because maybe, you know, we can also tell the listener more about why we both think that being present is really important. I mean, there's a fact that you can do it, and you might do it this way, But why do you think it is so important to be present in life?
Yeah, I mean, we both are, I mean, I hope the listeners, I mean, they know that we are both are talking from our own personal perspective, like only, right?
Yes.
So people have to take what they think is can be relatable and then, you know, apply it to their life. For me, like, why I think is important is because what a shame, Özlem, if we are misunderstood each other because we were not present at the discussion we had together. Right? Like by drifting your thoughts away from let's say you're talking to me and I'm thinking about something else, or like you would go to a restaurant and the chef have, they do so much research, they put a lot of energy, mix different ingredients, there's turmeric, there is timian, there's different things, and they put it out there for you and you actually don't enjoy because you are thinking about something else or doing something else, right? It's just like, this is life, and we have no idea how long and how life turns out for us. So being present is really just enjoying and trying to be there for whoever you are, you know, like for yourself to be, you know, for me, the first and important thing is that I'm there for me. I do it for my sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I am more connected to myself and to things I do. And that kind of calms you down.
Yeah.
And that gives you clarity.
Yeah, also kind of a peace yes. feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of peace and a clarity. And you actually, when you are grateful, like for, I am grateful. I every day, many times a day, I remind myself to say thank you for things, you know, to be able to see, to that I'm able to taste food, that I can hear, I can see, you know. So it's like, and those kind of things, like also you have to be present to be able to notice that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you were like constantly out there in the past, in the middle of something, yeah, in the future, or and you're like, then you're not being present.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? How is it for you?
So I actually realized that when I am with friends, because I lived also in different countries, whenever I see a friend which I haven't seen for a long time, we came together. Usually the conversation was about how nice it was what we had together a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then what our plans are to do the coming time. And then, you know, we were in the future and we were in the past, kind of like nostalgia and, you know, having these dreams. Mm. But meanwhile, we totally forgot just really looking at each other's child or having, you know, enjoying that moment together and being grateful. And this was just with a meeting with a friend, but I had it with many other things. So even like, you know, I just look forward to drink that coffee and then I'm drinking my coffee. Oh yeah, I have a meeting next. Oh yeah, then I'm in the meeting. Oh yeah, I need to go to the gym next. And then I was like, where am I going constantly? Maybe I should just enjoy that moment, because actually I had a very big resistant experience. I was scared to not finalize the things that I planned for the day. I was scared for. So that's why I was already on the next thought, because I was like, hey, I just need to make sure I'm looking at my watch all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of made an affirmation for myself. I just trust that it happens, just trust. And with that trust came peace, like I just trusted, and then I got much more presence with every activity I did, but it did not change in one day, and it's still evolving. I am not, don't anyone that listens now don't think she is like present with everything, not at all, but each time I'm just getting more aware of it, and by being more present it gives me peace. And you said like it for me, but what I also believe is it also does something to the other, because listening to someone or being with someone that is fully present, you might not be present, but you will experience this person's presence, and you will get a part of a piece from that person in you, because you are like, wow, Gulshanoy listens to me.
Exactly. Wow,
this person is there, is not on her phone, is not, is maybe physically there and not looking at her phone, but not thinking about other things, but is there. You just get connected to each other. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. For me, it's also like, I really try to let people feel that I am there when I'm with them. And, you know, that's why I have learned a discipline not to overbook the calendar, not to put so many things which are unrealistic for me. And as you say, I came to this by trying not to do this, right? We also need to appreciate that we have done some things which were not right, both of us. And that kind of taught us to be where we are, right? So that's why it's like an experience. You come to it and you can feel if the person is there or isn't there.
I love that you are saying we should appreciate the things that we have done, which was not right, because I think that's so important that you appreciate whatever you have done, right or not right. Because some people, they resist that feeling. Why am I not able? Why did I do that? That's why they do not come to that peaceful presence feeling.
Exactly. No, I think it's a, we need to embrace that, that's brought us where we are today. So for me, it's very important that we are proud of and kind of, maybe there will be things that we are not going to be proud of. It's just not like refusing them, but just embracing that it took us where we are today.
Yeah.
No matter where we are. Yeah. Because Özlem, we know that there are things like mind and body. Mm-hmm. Right. What is about that? And what do you mean? Sometimes it's like, my husband is like, what do you mean by mind and body? I'm like, no, but we have to work together. It's like, what do you mean? What is, it's like nonsense. I'm like, no, it's not nonsense. Sometimes, let's say I'm pushing myself running, right? After 2 kilometers, my heartbeat is on 175 BPM. And I'm like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
That's what mind says.
Yeah.
But the body can, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, my legs are working. Of course I can.
Yeah.
And then we push ourselves. So for me, this is the, like the best way I can explain as well, that we are those two things. Of course they have to align and work together, right? So the body and mind, sometimes our mind sets limitations of the things that we cannot do, but of course we can do.
And how would you identify from your mind at the moment that your mind says during this 175 heartbeat, like you can't do it? How do you identify?
I say, no, I can do it. I say, you know, because you know, your breath gets shorter, you are like tired. For me, it's I have a condition which is I can't get the heat out of my body by sweating, so I do not sweat. So I get very red in my face and super hard for me. So, but then I'm like, I can do it and I will. And I'm just telling to myself, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm talking to myself and I continue and I'm able to do it. So, you know, at some point, like when your body gives like your mind tells like, oh my God, you're tired. Your heart is beating faster and stuff like that. And I keep on going and it works.
It's very interesting that you feel like the mind and body, they are both you, the mind and body, right? Did you say that? Did I understand this right?
Yeah. And
for me, it is actually, I am actually not the mind. That is what I feel. A mind is a tool in me that makes me do things, which can do great things, because whatever you put in your mind, you just go that way. But also is able to just sometimes, if you do not control your mind, it just goes a way that you maybe don't want to go to. And I would do in a run like that, because I'm also running, I would say to myself, I'm not the mind that is talking now. I just go over. I'm just then the watcher of that mind. I just watch it. Oh, the mind talks. You can't do it. And I feel my body can do it. I just keep going.
Oh, it's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's a different viewpoint.
yeah, exactly. But you do, I mean, but you do agree that biologically that we are, of course, like one, you know, like if you look into scientific point of view, that we are working together, right? Without our mind or brain, we body cannot work.
No, yeah, for sure, sure. I agree with that. But I think, you know, from more a spiritual practice, what I'm having, like, I feel like there's a mind and there's my body, but there's beside that, there's also an awareness. And in this awareness, for me at least, that is something I can't even explain. You just feel it. You know, maybe some people during a meditation or during a pray, I feel there is something out there that is not seen, untouchable, undescribable. It is something. Some people call that
Yeah.
And then you can watch what the mind is doing. I am working on that, let's say.
All right. Okay. Interesting.
Is there a last thing you want to say? Because I also want to close with just a little part of The Power of Now from Eckhart Tolle. He has written on the first page a kind of a poem, something. I would like to read that.
Yeah, please do that. I think that's going to be nice if you close it down this time. Yeah.
Do you have another message you would like to give?
I think it's like, keep it simple. Don't overthink. It's very easy. Just if you want to really be present, be present. It's as what we say. Do one thing at a time, not only physically, but mindfully, with your mind as well. You know, like, and try maybe pay attention during the day. Oh gosh, I'm with this person, but my mind is drifting away. Oh, I am preparing for exam, or like I'm listening to this podcast, but I'm thinking about, I don't know, something else. And then you actually miss what we spoke about. What a shame, you know? So I think it's just like, do one thing at a time and really look at it very easy. It's not complicated. Yeah.
And do it good. So do it. Yeah. Do it with deep presence.
Yeah, and small things, small changes, they do matter. So you know, take it in your own pace. And there's nobody is telling this is right or wrong, but it's only for the benefit of oneself, right? In the long term, you definitely gonna see the effect of it.
Yeah. So I will end with a piece of the book from Practicing the Power of Now from Eckhart Tolle. He writes in the beginning, before he even starts with the chapter, "The beginning of freedom is the realization that you are not the thinker. The moment you start watching the thinker, a higher level of consciousness becomes activated. You then begin to realize that there's a vast realm of intelligence beyond thought. That thought is only a tiny aspect of that intelligence. You also realize that all the things that truly matter, beauty, love, creativity, joy, inner peace, arise from beyond the mind. You begin to awaken."
Nice. Very beautiful.
Thank you, Gulshanoy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, of course. And we will see you next time again.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have loved this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on Instagram at ozkanozlem, at ozkanozlem. If you want to let me know what you have enjoyed, or you want to share your takeaways with me, or you want to let me know what you want to hear in the next episode of Bridging, find the latest post on Instagram and leave a comment or ask a question. Thank you so much for listening.